What about the sacrifices? A messianic perspective on Messiah and the Levitical sacrifices. Disc 2, The Temple Sect. The following lecture was recorded live during the First Fruits of Zion 2009 Shavuot Conference at Beth Emanuel Sabbath Fellowship in Hudson, Wisconsin.
Okay, we've been learning about the temple since the early centuries of Christianity. Christian theologians have pointed to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem as evidence that the Torah is canceled. And, you know, the covenant with the Jewish people is canceled. So the logic behind this is very simple, right? The logic behind this is that prior to the death and resurrection of Messiah, the blood sacrifices in the temple provided the means of atonement for forgiveness of sins. So the sinner who desired forgiveness needed to bring an animal sacrifice to the temple, to God's altar. And the sinner sacrificed the animal, spilling its blood in payment for the sin. The animal's death paid the penalty for the sin. But then when Messiah came, there's a shift because his sacrificial death accomplishes that, which renders the animal sacrifice redundant, right? And so evidence that this theological premise is true, evidence of this is that Hashem closed down the temple then, bringing an end to animal sacrifices. All right, so here's our first question. Messianic Judaism teaches that the gospel of Messiah did not cancel the Torah. Our master warned us not to even think that he had come to abolish the Torah. And he insisted that every jot and tittle of the Torah was enduring so long as heaven and earth remained. The Torah is the unchanging word of God. Nevertheless, it's very common to even hear adherents of Messianic Judaism concede that the temple and the animal sacrifices are the part of the Torah that has been canceled by the death and the resurrection of Messiah. And that interpretation seems to find support in the book of Hebrews. We could look at lots of passages from the book of Hebrews, which would seem to support this Christian model of supersession of the temple service. For example, when Christ appeared as a high priest for the good things that have come, then through the greater, more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he effected atonement. For Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. So that it would appear the temple has been superseded by Christ. And the priesthood of Messiah has replaced the Torah's Aaronic priesthood. When I say Aaronic priesthood, I mean the sons of Aaron. So the Messianic priesthood has replaced that of the sons of Aaron. And the sacrifice of Messiah has replaced the temple sacrifices. Right? These are generally well understood tenets of Christian theology. And I'm throwing up passages from the book of Hebrews to illustrate the point, but I think you know what they are. However, this interpretation raises three difficulties, which we'll look at now, okay? First difficulty, difficulty number one, is that the cancellation of the Levitical worship system creates a contradiction in that our master said he didn't come to abolish the Torah, but if his death and resurrection actually does annul the temple system and his sacrifice replaces the sacrifices and his priesthood replaces the Aaronic priesthood, then his coming did indeed abolish the Torah. Because that's a lot of Torah. Hebrews 7:12 says, when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the Torah as well. Hebrews 7:18 says, the former commandment, the Torah, is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the Torah made nothing perfect. So if the Torah has changed and the former commandment has been set aside by the coming of Messiah, how can he say, don't think that I've come to abolish the law? What, I've not come to abolish the law, but just to set it aside? Canceling the Levitical system requires obsolescence of most of the book of Exodus, the entire book of Leviticus, and large chunks of Numbers and Deuteronomy. And this contradiction is further aggravated in that the Torah explicitly says regarding these laws, laws of priesthood, laws of temple, laws of sacrifices, it explicitly says that these laws are eternal statutes. So according to the Torah, for example, in Exodus 29:9, the priesthood shall be theirs by a statute forever. A chukat olam. Or, for example, Deuteronomy 18:5. Regarding the priests, for the Lord your God has chosen Aaron out of all your tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons, forever. The Aaronic priesthood's wearing of priestly garments, the use of the laver, the washing of hands and feet at the laver, the tending of the menorah, other priestly functions in the temple, all of these are described by the Torah as statutes forever to be observed throughout their generations. Likewise, the rituals of the Day of Atonement, including the sacrificial services, are called a statute forever. The prohibition on offering a sacrifice any place except in the temple, with an Aaronic priest overseeing it, is called a statute for all generations. Leviticus 23 identifies appointed times, the festivals, and their prescribed sacrifices as statutes to be observed forever. Numbers 19 calls the sacrifice of the red heifer and its ashes a perpetual statute, forever for them. And Numbers 18:23 says the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle, of the tent of meeting, as a perpetual statute throughout your generations. So if the death and the resurrection of Messiah canceled all this, then the Torah itself is canceled. Bottom line, it is. You can't have it both ways. But a cursory reading of the book of Hebrews seems to confirm that the Torah is canceled. It seems fairly obvious. A new covenant replaces the old covenant. Yeah? You've seen these before? The evidence from the book of Hebrews appears to be completely straightforward. The gospel renders the Aaronic priesthood, the sacrificial services, the temple, and the Torah itself as obsolete. So, to put it in the vernacular of the Talmud, this is a difficulty. Difficulty number two is the apostolic community and the temple.